Welcome along then to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with SBK. I'm Dave Clark, he's Steve Palmer, and we were face-to-face last week, Steve. How are you since we saw each other at the Racing Post summer party?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Dave. No, a nice pre-open breather. Important to let your hair down with a major looming large. But no, it's all business now. Last week was one for the bookmakers. I don't think many punters would have enjoyed last week. Two big price winners that were difficult to identify. But we've got the Open next week and four golf tournaments this week. Four tournaments!
Indeed. I'm assuming Mrs. Palmer's not a regular watcher, so we can reveal that you did certainly let your hair down last week. Steve, you were just telling me before we started rolling that you were certainly up later than I.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed myself. It was a long night, but there was one point where Henry Harwick said I just stopped speaking entirely, and that was the time to call it a night when I was unable to communicate. But no, as I say, we're relaxed, we're loose, four tournaments this week. We'll get the quadruple. We'll have an each way acca. We'll get the quadruple, and then we'll find the winner of the Open.
Yes, big one next week, of course, which we will tackle right here on the Racing Post YouTube channel next week. You're, of course, joining us here on YouTube, so do remember to like, comment and subscribe. All your comments are welcome. I'd love to hear from anyone who managed to find a winner, or dare I say it, both winners last week. Both huge prices, which we'll talk about very, very shortly. A reminder, our friends at SBK are sponsors of the show. Jump onto their website, betsbk.com, and you can bet 10 and get £40 in free bets. There you go. It's four golf tournaments to get stuck into. Bet a tenner, and you get 40 quid you can be armed with to tackle this week, so maybe you could save it for the Open next week. Right, I know you like to go in chronological order, Steve, so we'll look back first, and we'll, of course, go to Germany. The BMW, 125-1 winner here, Dan Brown. Quite an emotional one afterwards, yeah, as well, given everything that the guy has been through, which reading between the lines, I think may have helped him over the line in a weird way.
Well, I think you're right. I think he entered a sort of Zen-like state, didn't he? I mean, it was a very emotional victory because one of his best friends died the previous weekend. So it was a difficult journey over for him, travelling on the weekend. And he spoke afterwards that it was on his mind all week in Germany. He dedicated the win to his mate. But he had a calmness about him, Dave. I mean, when golfers realise it's only golf, they carry a perspective into tournaments. It can bring a calmness, and he was bogey free for the final 28 holes of the tournament. He played some of the best golf I've ever seen from him. Just really impressive, carefree at times. You know, going at pins, absolutely delighted for him. I mean, yeah, we must take betting out of this. You know, sometimes you just get a lovely story and, you know, clearly a really good bloke, isn't he? Do you remember him when he lead in the Open last year, Dave?
Was he walking along with the cigarettes, right? That was him, wasn't it?
Yeah. Walking along with the cigarettes and really engaging with the fans. You know, it was a real sort of, he was the people's champion of that Open. Yeah. And, you know, I warmed to him that week and I warmed to him last week. He just seems like a really, really good egg. And, you know, as a neutral, which we never are, I know you certainly weren't last week. You're on Jordan Smith, the runner-up. As a neutral, it's hard not to be pleased for Daniel Brown, isn't it?
Yeah, second title, 12, 13 from 14 for massive. Smith bogeyed 13 from 14, which was painful to watch. But that was the golf tournament right there, I think. But good show from Smith again. But Dan Brown, a second DP World Tour title. And Steve, I know you beat yourself up when you don't find winners. 125-1, and he was a tough one to find.
He was a tough one to find. I mean, yeah, Jordan Smith is so often in contention and then falters at the business end. Yeah, three bogeys on the back nine on Sunday. This is one of the best ball strikers that the European Tour has ever seen. Yeah. And he's 32 years of age now, and, you know, he'll be hugely frustrated with his conversion rate. Kazumi Kabore, keep a close eye on him. He finished third on his own. You know we like Kazuma Kabore. He's 23 years of age. I think he'll win on the DP World Tour pretty soon. Matty Schmidt, slow out the gates with a 72, played brilliantly for the final 3 days, but left himself too much to do. Matty Schmidt, we got a lot of respect for him. And Marco Penge, I mean, some loose iron play. I still think he's one of the best players on the DP World Tour now. There was just a couple of loose iron shots. He made two double bogeys, finished 11th. But yeah, I think the future's bright for the son of the Italian Stallion.
Indeed, yeah. And for all the wrong reasons, just spinning through some of the YouTube comments, I think he's become a favourite for all the wrong reasons, but he's become a favourite on the show here for those that, that watch. So, yeah, I'm sure, you know, obviously he won't be carrying his own money, but many a time I think he'll be carrying the punter's money.
I think you're right. I know he's Tom Segal's favourite player because I think Tom Segal is a Reading fan and Penge's plays at a club near Reading. I think, Tom Segal's in love with Marco Penge, and I can see why. I think Marco Penge will make you a lot of money through the years. I'd keep Penge on side, I'd keep Cabore on side, I'd keep Schmidt on side. I'm unsure about Jordan Smith. You got a great run for your money last week, David. It was a great, great selection. But I just think he's twitchy as anything in contention. And we want champions, don't we?
We do. We want players that are trying to win golf tournaments. Indeed. Right, anything else to add before we move on?
No, another bookies benefit in the John Deere Classic, I'm afraid to say.
You can say that again. 350-1 winner here. Brian Campbell, second win on the tour. Some of the craziest stats here. Shortest hitter on the tour. He ranks 171st off the tee out of 171. Yeah. And he officially has the slowest ball speed as well of all the players on the tour. But he got the job done. He came into it in fine form, missed cut, withdrawn, missed cut. How didn't you find him, Steve?
Well, he's an inspiration to short drivers everywhere, isn't there? He's a two-time PGA Tour champion, both wins this season. Yeah, this is a 32-year-old journeyman. And both of his wins have been in playoffs against players that have got real talent. He beat Aldrich Potgieter in Mexico in a playoff. Potgieter, we know that the future is so bright for him. That Mexico event was on a wide open golf course, which really suited Aldrich Potgieter. Didn't suit Brian Campbell, but he got the job done. And then last week, Emiliano Grillo has always been blessed with an enormous amount of talent. When it went to a playoff, you assume Grillo would get the job done. We tipped Grillo in Golfwise Extra on Sunday morning. We were hoping Grillo would win that tournament, but not to be. But just holds his nerve well. I mean, he's a good putter, finds lots of fairways. As I say, an inspiration for puny hitters. How far do you hit it, Dave? Are you in that category?
Yeah, I'd be a puny hitter. I played golf yesterday, actually, to be fair. Really, really nice course. Essex golfers watching, Mardyke Valley, very cheap. Beautiful greens. Big thumbs up from me. I'd call myself, in relation to what we see and what we enjoy to watch and bet on, Steve, I would definitely be a puny hitter compared to some of these beefy lads.
Well, are you inspired? Are you inspired by Brian Campbell?
If you like. Yeah, I'd still say even his puny ball speed would be comfortably a lot higher than mine. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I'm pleased with that. Again, it was a heartwarming week. If you didn't have a bet last week, you would have enjoyed seeing both of those fellas win because they're both good eggs and they both deserve their day in the limelight. No good for the punting community. I've seen some chat about Brian Campbell for the Ryder Cup team. I think that's absolutely crazy. Clearly he's just been, he's done well at the right times. He's had a few lucky breaks here and there. I think Luke Donald would be laughing his head off if Brian Campbell was on the American Ryder Cup team. I hope they pick him as a proud European.
Well, it could be the first singles match out, couldn't it? Campbell versus Jimenez. We'd be all for that.
Yes. Yeah, that should be the deal, shouldn't it? If Keegan Bradley pits Brian Campbell, we'll pick Miguel Angel Jimenez. And yeah, that'd be a wonderful display.
How would you price that up, Steve, over 18?
I think I'd give Jimenez the edge. I think I'd give him the edge on the experience of handling it better. We're getting into silly territory here.
We are indeed. Right, roll your sleeves up then, mate, because we've got four tournaments to get stuck into this week.
Yes.
It's not a gentle move into Open Week. It is a busy one. We're going to start with the women's major, the Evian Championship in France. Talk to us about the track.
Yes, ladies first, and it is for chronology fans. This will tee off about 6 a.m. 6 a.m. on Thursday. The first golf tournament of the week is a ladies' major, Evian Resort Golf Club, Evian Le Bain. France, 6,523 yards, par 71. Evian Resort has staged this event since 1994. Didn't become a major until 2013. Used to be staged in September, switched to July in 2019. The course is at altitude, 1,575 feet above sea level. Beautiful location, overlooks Lake Geneva. I quite like the idea of spending 4 days watching this, needs must as an open looming. Sunny, warm, calm weather for the vast majority of the event. Little bit of breeze on Thursday afternoon. A field of 132 is going to post.
Okay, right, mark it then. Titicol heads it with Corda Lee closely in behind. They're all there, the big guns. How many are you selecting, Steve?
Just one, Dave.
Okay, right. Give us a percentage of the field here. One out of 100, 131, was it, the field?
Well, obviously, we've got 132 runners and we just have one. I mean, we've got, obviously, with four golf tournaments, we need to spread our load, so to speak. Okay. We only need one lady for that.
Okay, right. So who is the pick then?
Nelly Korda. It's time to get back together with Nelly. We haven't backed her this year. She hasn't won anything this year, but the signs are positive. I think she's the one most likely to go birdie crazy this week. You need to go birdie crazy to win the Evian. I think strong putting's essential. Birdie's freely available. Winning scores are 15, 18, 17, 14, and 19 under par since the tournament moved back to July. Calder's got that firepower to go birdie crazy in the calm weather we're going to get this week. And I think she'll land a third major title. We've been waiting for Calder to complete the hat-trick of major wins. She's been coming close. Second in the Open last year, second in the US Open just over a month ago. And in this particular major, the Evian, form figures of 8, 9, 26 from the last 3 years. And that 26th place, Dave, is better than it looks. It's a pretty good effort in the circumstances, because you might remember, I think you were presenting Sweet Spot back then. Do you remember the dog bite incident? She had a very nasty dog bite.
We didn't know where it was, did we, at the time? Well, yeah.
We've subsequently discovered it was a very nasty dog bite on her leg, and she was going into that tournament lame. But despite those issues with the unruly growler, she closed with a 68, took a really decent check home this week, fully fit for the Evian. She wasn't fully fit for last year's Evian, still finished in a prominent position. This week, fully fit, nicely rested, got a solid Evian record. So, yeah, I'm all over Nelly Korda this week.
Okay, you have some way with words, Steve. I'll give you that. Right, so Nelly Korda then. A quick word on Titicol as the market leader.
Yeah, Titicol favourite. Still hasn't won a major. Faded from the front in the last one, you might remember. She started the women's PGA amazingly well. The flat stick was absolutely purring, but... Yeah, obviously it's a huge psychological hurdle to win the first major. She fell back from the front in the last one. Yeah, if you've got Korda and Titicol going down the stretch on Sunday, who's your money on? So, Korda's better value than the favourite for me. And then Minji Lee obviously won that women's PGA. This is a totally different event. That women's PGA, really difficult golf course, a real grind, windy. This is easy golf course, calm weather. Minji Lee's more of a grinder. I think put all your eggs in one basket and then stick Nelly in your multiples. Yeah, this is when we get four tournaments, we always wake up on a Tuesday absolutely exhausted. I was up ridiculously late last night. I think I scare all the neighbors when I'm still wandering around in the garden at those hours. But the good thing is we have a chance of an each way acker, and take your opportunity.
Okay, right. Nelly Korda then, the pick for the first event. Let's move on then. I know you like to go chronological, Steve, so we will plough on. And we are now at the Genesis Scottish Open. Now, co-sanctioned, hell of a field. Bobby Mack, of course, memorably did the business last year. Previous winners, McIlroy, Schauffele as well. Lovely line on the website here of the course, Renaissance Club. Very little earth was moved in the construction of the course, as it should be as well. So tell us about the track. A bit traditional, this one.
Yes, it's a modern links. It's a semi-links. It's a rich man's playground. Loads of money pumped into to make this club. We're in North Berwick, East Lothian, Scotland. 7,237 yards, par 70, three par fives. Made its Scottish Open debut in 2019. It's hosted every year since. Pretty easy in good weather. Heavily contoured greens are the main defence of the course. We got clear, calm, pleasant weather all week. So I think scoring will be low. Scoring will be really low this time. A field of 156 going to post.
Okay, right. So we've got one in the women's. How many in the Scottish?
Four, right.
Okay, right. Market show then. Scottish Scheffler, favourite, as expected. McIlroy at second in, as expected. Third in, with a lot of the firms, is Tommy Fleetwood, which I think is a little bit surprising. Xander Schauffele, Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg, Bobby Mack, the defending champion. They're all up there. Really, really good field. Who is, actually, before we get the main selection, key attribute?
I think key attribute is short game skills. Yeah, the main right. defence of this track are these really tricky greens. So chipping, putting, handling the heavily contoured greens is the key. In calm weather, we're going to get an easy week of weather. This, yeah, it's going, so it's going to be
it, bombing it off the tee is not a potent weapon here.
It helps, but yeah, have you noticed that the weather has been fantastic, isn't it? This is Florida like weather we're getting in Scotland this week. I know Paul Keighley's a massive doubter about global warming, but I think he's losing me. He's convinced global warming's a myth. I was out blackberry picking at the weekend, and everyone was like, couldn't believe that the blackberries are out at this time of the year. It's astonishing how the blackberries have come out so early. And I think the weather we're going to get in on these shores is remarkable at the moment. I think you'll agree. It's been a remarkable summer.
Yeah, already, yeah. Listen, the next thing you're going to tell me is like Tom Seagull's a flat earther. Is that right as well?
No, honestly, if you speak to Paul Keighley, he just thinks all this global warming is a load of old nonsense. But I think
I'm going to approach him with a tin foil hat on and see how we get on in that conversation. Right, let's get your selections, Liv. You've got four players here. Who is the main pick?
Robert McIntyre, who can retain his Scottish Open title, who can produce three-year Scottish Open form figures of 2-1-1. He can become the king of the Renaissance Club if he's not already. Everyone in attendance will be delighted with that. He's a hero for Scottish golf fans, and he's going off at value prices now. When he first came onto the scene, he was massively overrated in the markets. There was this desperation from Scottish golf fans to have a new hero. You know, it was ages since a really top-class Scott come onto the scene. Obviously, in the Colin Montgomery years, Scottish golf fans had, you know, you could pin their hopes to Monty. But this clamour for a Scottish player meant in the early stages of Bobby's career, I feel like he was going off too short. I didn't very, very often back him because he was being overrated in the market. But I think it's shifted recently because his ability has gone up massively. He's gone up a level. And he's got the winning chance to justify the odds he's going off at now. Did you notice the opening show this week? I don't know how quickly you've been off the ball this week. You seem a little bit ill.
I was hay fever.
Sorry about that. You have a squirt to the old Beckenay. Is that always good? I could not believe he opened up at 30, easy to back at 33-1 on opening shows, Robert McIntyre. And yeah, I think it's, as I say, in the olden days, he used to be massively overrated in the market, and now I think he's been underrated. He's clearly one of the most likely course winners. He's got a staggering course record. He's taken his game to a new level. Grown up playing links golf in Scotland, won the Scottish Amateur at Muirfield in 2015, completed a DP World Tour hat trick when winning this last year, won the Canadian Open last summer, made a Ryder Cup debut in 2023, and appearing on major leaderboards now. He's a major contender. Eighth in the USPGA last year, runner-up in the US Open last month. This is a serious customer now. And I think a key point to make is motivation is unquestionable. Plenty of strong candidates to win the Claret Jug next week might be seeing this as a gentle loosener. We'll come on to the market leaders. I think Rory McIlroy's a classic example of a player that will see this as a gentle loosener. You know, McIntyre will not see this as a gentle loosener. He's obviously a huge candidate for next week. Yeah, he's a massive contender for the Open Championship, but that doesn't mean he won't have 100% focus on his National Open. He'll worry about next week. I think if you offered him a Scottish Open victory and a missed cut in the Open, he'd bite your hand off. And I don't think you can say that about many of the leading players this week. So, yeah, I'm all over. I'm an adopted Scot this week, Dave. I think I might dress up as Braveheart on Thursday, and I think Bobby Mack could win our freedom.
Marvelous. Do we know who's on his bag now?
He gets through, can he? He certainly won't be his dad.
It was his dad on the bag when he won before, wasn't it?
He had his dad on the bag in Canada when he was struggling. Now, he's been through a few caddies. Not as many caddies as Colin Morikawa, which we'll come to again. He's got a new caddy. We'll talk about him afterwards. He's not one of my tips.
Okay, right. Bobby Mack then, the defending champion. Steve's pick. Who's next?
Harris English, who is being disrespected in the market. Enormous prices available everywhere. It's your classic case of an American coming over to play links golf and being dismissed. But English is an experienced campaigner. He's played in 9 Opens. He finished 15th in the 2013 Open. He's played at the Renaissance twice before. Progressive form figures are 42-34. He's won by the coast on the PGA Tour in Hawaii. Always had a dynamite short game. And most importantly, playing some magnificent golf this year. Won the Farmers Insurance Open at the end of January. Was 12th in the Masters. 11th in the Truist Championship, 2nd in the USPGA, 12th at Memorial, 4th last time out in the Travelers Championship, 5-time PGA Tour champion, 35-year-old at the peak of his powers. Just because he's American, he's been chalked up at a massive price for a Lynx event, but we've got American-like weather this week, Dave. It's going to be lovely in Scotland this week. I see no reason why he can't contend.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. You just expect to see players sort of in woolly hats and all sorts playing golf in Scotland. But yeah, it's going to be warmer climate, that's for sure. And it might suit some of the Yanks. Who else you got in the team, Steve?
Number 3 is Harry Hall, the pride of Cornwall, a popular character on the coast of Cornwall. Now he's ready to make merry on the coast of North Berwick. Won his maiden PGA Tour title this time last year, the ISCO Championship. Doesn't need to bother with the ISCO Championship anymore because he's in the elite Scottish Open event. He'd won twice on the Corn Ferry Tour prior to that. Now he's become a regular PGA Tour contender. Started this year with form figures of 8-10 on the Hawaiian coast in the Century and the Sony. This week, tees up looking for a 7th consecutive top 25 finish. And all these are PGA Tour events he's been banking checks in. 19th in the USPGA in May, 6th at Colonial, 9th in the Travelers Championship last month, despite getting really ill during the event. You know, he was in an ambulance. He was in all sorts of trouble because he was guaranteed a check. He battled through it and went out and finished 9th. And then 13th in the Rocket Classic last time out. He also, easy to miss, he also managed to qualify for the Open Championship. He finished 2nd in a final qualifier at Burnham Barrow. So hitting it really well. Short game's always been absolutely mustard. Renaissance is a good fit. Wonderful each-way value.
Comes in with a feel-good factor, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's feeling good.
Fourth and final member of the team?
Brian Harman. Massive price for a major champion on a course which suits the 2023 Open champion. He was underrated at Royal Liverpool back then, wasn't he? No one respected him at Royal Liverpool a couple of years ago. Led the field.
He's a massive price.
Yeah. You're excited about this one, Dave. You've got every right to be excited. You know, led the field of merry dance in the Open a couple of years ago. His short game skills are such a weapon on links terrain. Particularly this week with the easy tee to green test that's on offer. I think it's all about short game this week. We saw that short game class in the Texas Open in April. He won the Texas Open. That victory came a week before the Masters. You know, he's good at applying himself a week before a major. And since winning in Texas, he was 3rd in the Heritage, another elite field. 8th in the Travelers Championship last time out. Another signature event. And he's finished 12th and 21st in the last two Scottish Opens. So, yeah, I think Harman, as you say, is an enormous price. So, yeah, we could get a battle of two left-handers on Sunday. Yeah, Bobby Mack against Brian. Bobby and Brian in a Ryder Cup-style duel. I like the idea of that.
That would be lovely. Do you know what? I like him for some sort of first-round leader bet as well. Yeah. I like that. There's not going to be no biases, Steve, is there?
I don't think so. No, no, there's not enough wind in the forecast for any sort of bias, no.
He's a huge price. Right, should we have a look at some of the big guns then? We'll start with the biggest gun of all, Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, I can't see any value in the price. Putting is a key attribute this week. The Scheff doesn't come with any putting guarantees. He's finished third here before, but he has also missed a cut here before. I can't have the favourites. I mean, McIlroy, surely. We're always trying to get in Rory McIlroy's head, haven't we? We failed in the past, in the recent past. We got in his head before the USPGA and we were in the wrong head. But yeah, this is surely
a gentle fell off, yeah.
This is surely a gentle loosener. Yeah, you get the two problems he's had since winning the Masters are energy and enthusiasm. He doesn't want to use up any energy this week, does he? You know, next week, an open in his homeland is absolutely massive for him. Yeah, minimal practice this week. Yeah, I would suggest he doesn't care where he finishes this week.
This could be completely wrong, but I've got a feeling you may or not know the sort of facts behind this, but McIlroy having a good record in events before majors. So whether he turns up, whether it be the week before, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, always a good showing from him because he's just kind of, listen, I'm just preparing for what's coming.
Yeah. Well, he has won this before. He has won this before, but I just don't see him being bothered about where he finishes this week. If he's trying out, you know, some equipment for next week, some shots for next week, I think this is all about just loosening yourself up in it for the big one. Yeah, I talked about Bobby Mack earlier on. Yeah, Bobby Mack would, if you offered Bobby Mack miscut next week, victory this week, he'd bite your hand off. If you offered McIlroy the opposite, he'd bite your hand off. Obviously I'm playing silly games here. We played a lot of silly games on this podcast already, Dave. I'm just making the point that I think Bobby Mack much more up for this Scottish Open than Rory McIlroy.
No, I completely agree. Tommy Fleetwood, third in. What are your thoughts on that and his chances?
Yeah, obviously, squandered a great winning chance on the PGA Tour last time out. Then he went off to Wimbledon, didn't he? Enjoy a bit of tennis, letting his hair down. He's better at letting his hair down than us, Dave, because he's got more hair. he was at Wimbledon enjoying himself. Hopefully, he's had a reset. Great links golfer. That's why he's third in. Yeah, fantastic links golfer. Every chance. I prefer his chance to Colin Morikawa. I mean, Colin Morikawa getting huge respect in the market again. We must mention that Billy Foster is his new caddy. Billy Foster, one of the best caddies there's ever been. But again, you know, I had questions over whether Colin Morikawa could get on with Joe Greiner. Very contrasting characters. The relationship lasted a matter of weeks. And I had the same concerns about Billy Foster. I don't think Colin Morikawa and Billy Foster are similar characters. I think they're completely different characters. I think Billy Foster would want to be in charge of their plans. Colin Morikawa, I don't think will gel with him. But that's Foster's his caddy for this week and for next week. He shouldn't have sacked JJ Jakovac, which we've
said many times. Listen, I'm just here for the Morikawa and McIlroy press conferences, if there are even any press conferences. So I mean, just for two more players to ask you about, Steve. Ludvig Åberg and Victor Hovland, two players that are respected in the market as well.
Yeah, Ludvig Åberg will come back to form soon. He's done well in the past. Obviously, respect Ludvig Åberg. Victor Hovland, yeah, this is a severe short game test, so I wouldn't be as keen on Victor. They'll probably be Ryder Cup partners in September, won't they, those two? Not long now till Bethpage Black.
Okay, right. That is Steve's view then on the Scottish Open. I do like Brian Harman there. A good case made for him at a huge, huge price. Right. ISCO Championship, Steve, where are we? We're in Kentucky somewhere. First time this course has been used on the PGA Tour. I looked at this event and just thought, God, I don't envy Steve's task here trying to kind of piece together and find the winner of this event. What have you been able to find out about the course?
Yeah, we're in Kentucky. We're not in Kentucky Fried Chicken, which will disappoint Henry Harwick, who's got a bit of an addiction to KFC. But yeah, new venue. Hurstbourne Country Club, Louisville, Kentucky. I've been to Louisville, Kentucky for a Ryder Cup. I didn't check out Hurstbourne Country Club. I should have been looking ahead.
Was it open at the time?
I was just concentrating on the Ryder Cup. But this is a short course, Dave. 7,056 yards, par 70, only two par fives. Keene Trace was the former venue. Keene Trace staged the event from 2018 to last year. Hurstbourne making its debut. So short tree-lined layout, relies on water hazards and small greens to keep the scoring in check. But I still think that the PGA Tour stars are going to go birdie crazy. Zoysia grass fairways. PGA Tour players love that. Lovely spongy lies. Bent grass greens. Light breezes all week. So, low scoring affair. 156 players going to post.
Okay, what sort of player have you been looking for here, Steve?
I think you're going to have to do well with your scoring clubs, your wedges and your putter. Both of them, my selections. I've only got two selections in this, and both of them have been putting really well lately. I think it's going to be firm and fast. Control close to the hole, I think, would be the key to success.
Okay, right. Let's give you a show then. Your man, Thor Bjornsson, big fan of him, I know. He shares favouritism with Emiliano Grillo, Kevin Roy, Rico Hoey. There's some, perhaps, lesser well-known names at the head of the market here, Steve. Players that would nowhere be near the head of the market, some of the other PGA Tour events. What do you make of the field?
It's a fascinating field, isn't it? It's a fascinating field. I mean, I think Michael Ford Bjornsson deserves favouritism. You know I'm a huge fan of him. We might as well just hit the fans now with Michael Ford Bjornsson because he's not one of our tips. I think that might surprise a few people.
It surprises me, yeah.
I'm furious with him for how he played that 17th hole on Sunday because I thought I was going to be able to salvage the week with my double because I played 12 places on my double. Marco Penge, my number one in the BMW, and Thor Bjornsson, my number one in the John Deere. And Thor Bjornsson was 9 under par through 16 holes on Sunday. He was in second place. And he took 7 at the 17th hole, made a real Horlicks of the 17th hole. So, I really respect his chance. He's got JJ Jakovac on the bag, Dave. We're talking about Colin Morikawa shouldn't have got rid of JJ Jakovac. It hasn't taken JJ Jakovac long to pick up another top-class bag. Michael Thor Bjornsson's got a huge future, but I'll explain why we're going without him when I talk about my number one selection. It's a really tricky tournament and a tricky market, Dave.
Indeed. Right, you had 4 in Scotland. How many here?
Just the 2 in this one. Yeah, just the 2.
Just the 2. Okay, main selection is?
And the main selection is Jackson Koivun, who looks set to become one of the best players in the world. He's the world number one amateur, Dave. He's already got one of the most impressive amateur records in history. You know, he's got awards coming out of his ears, this lad. Clearly ready for the big time right now. Says he's not turning professional until next year. Being very loyal to his college teammates. I wonder whether he might change his mind on Sunday, Dave, when he becomes ISCO champion. We shall see. I hope we shall see. He's got a PGA Tour card in his pocket already, Dave. Have we discussed this before on Sweet Spot? The PGA Tour university rankings, where it's a new thing. The PGA Tour invented a new qualification criteria to get on the PGA Tour, basically to stop Liv taking all the youngsters because there was loads of top-class college players just signing for Liv immediately. And the PGA Tour are alarmed by this. So they've allocated a spot for the best college player to get straight on the PGA Tour. The best college player is Jackson Koivun. So the pressure's off. He's got a PGA Tour card in his pocket for next season. He says he's not turning pro until next season. He's enjoying college life. But he's getting a few sponsors' invites. The sponsors want Jackson Koivun in their golf tournaments. Yes, giving him a chance to taste the tour life he will inevitably had. Played last week in the John Deere Classic. Looked as good as anyone in attendance. Tied 11th last week in a better field than this. Understandably slow out the gates. Then rounds of 64, 68, 67. Finished 3rd in a US Open qualifier last month. Got some major experience in it at Oakmont. So this boy going places fast. No course disadvantage this week, Dave. Very, very important point to make. You know, these youngsters, a lot of the time, go into well-established PGA Tour venues. They start with a handicap straight away. This is a new PGA Tour venue for everyone. The grade is low, rubbish field. And as I say, the market's been a problem, Dave, because I have to work on opening shows. You know, I have no time to lose. Opening shows, analyze it. I don't know which way the market's going to go. And there was a huge gap between Michael Thorbjornsson and Jackson Coyven on opening shows. You know, Coyven doubled the price of Thorbjornsson. That made it an easy decision. They're very similar players. Thorbjornsson just slightly older and more experienced, but, you know, both youngsters, you know, raw youngsters. So, yeah, there's been some shrewd money for Jackson Coyven, and he's shortened and the gap has closed. I'm team Coyven.
As the current world amateur number one.
Yes, the current world amateur number
which
one.
Which is incredible. If you're a regular viewer of this show, this is just a no-brainer. Like, this has to be your number one pick this week.
Well, we've seen amateurs win on the PGA Tour.
He's obviously a young man. How old
is
he?
He's 20. So he's 20. He's 3 years younger than Thorbjornsson. We've seen amateurs win on the PGA Tour now, haven't we? We saw Nick Dunlap, one of the sweet spot heroes. He won as an amateur. Luke Clanton's come close as an amateur. Yeah, the college golf scene's never been better. These guys are just ready. Jackson Coyven made a few media men laugh in his he had a media conference last week at the John Deere, and he was talking about how he's never seen the standard in junior golf being better. Like, yeah, there were guffaws. Like, it's like this 20-year-old talking like an old man going, oh, the junior golfers are so good these days. You know, he's a college golfer, and he's looking back at the improving quality of the junior golfers. Yeah, golfers are just getting better and better and better. And these college golfers, the point is, these college golfers are ready to win immediately. Jackson Coyven's ready to win immediately. He was threatening to win last week. Cool dude. But as I say, yeah, the shrewdies have got the early value. I could easily see a Thorbjornsson Coyven shootout on Sunday, which would be thrilling.
Nice. I like it. Okay. One more selection then. Who else?
Takumi Kanaya. A former world number one amateur. I'm backing the current world number one amateur and one of his predecessors. Kanaya was world number one amateur for 55 weeks. So there's nothing fluky about his spell in that position. He won on the Japan Tour in 2019 when he was still an amateur. He's won seven times on the Japan Tour, won on the Asian Tour in 2023. We're all waiting for him to do it outside of Asia. We're all waiting for him to make a mark stateside. Maybe at the age of 27, he's ready. My two players, as I alluded to earlier, both putting really well. This is going to be a low-scoring event. Coyven was holding everything he looked at last week. You know, it's just a classic case of a player with no battle scars. You know, just, you know, cocksure. Doesn't think about the one back, just ramming them in. And Kanaya's been rolling his rock really well this season. Fifth place in the Byron Nelson was really encouraging. That was a couple of months ago. He needed a big check because he's a PGA Tour rookie. He came through qualifying school, finished third in Q school in December. So this year he's a PGA Tour rookie and he's been missing lots of cuts, but fifth in the Byron Nelson, you know, gives him hope of retaining his card. There's nobody in this field he'd feel intimidated by. You know, it's a rubbish field with all due respect. No course experience handicap, as we've discussed for Kanaya. You know, most PGA Tour rookies struggle with that. A two-pronged attack in a wide-open event.
Twice. You've doubled down on the fact it's a rubbish field there. It's twice you've called it rubbish.
Yeah, I've been a bit harsh, but there is some chaff in this.
Right, anything else to add, Steve?
I just want to admit that I'll be devastated if Michael Thorbjornsson wins, because I've got the utmost respect. He's got JJ Djokovic on the bag. I think that those two together are going to be an irresistible force. But as I say, Jackson Coyven opened up double the price and it was game over.
Well, if you're ever not going to be on your man when he wins, the best time to not be on him is when he's the shortest price. So I take some kind of solace in that.
No, thank you. I need all the solace I can get my hands on.
Right, okay. Right, the Livers then. Andalusia, Live Golf. A track that you know well, is Steve?
Oh, yeah, I'm a regular at Valderrama, Soto Grande, Spain. 7,010 yards, par 71, three par fives. It's hosted numerous DP World Tour events. The Volvo Masters from 1988 to 1996 and from 2002 to 2008. The Ryder Cup in 1997. The WGC Amex Championship in 1999 and 2000, the Andalusia Masters in 2010, 2011, 2017 to 2022, the 2016 Spanish Open, and LIV Golf Andalusia in 2023 and last year. One of the tightest tracks in Europe, thin, tree-lined fairways flanked by heavy rough. Greens are small, fast, and undulating. It's really difficult. And then God's going to add to the difficulty this week, Dave. Pesky God is providing 2 days of wind. So we've got two breezy days and then a calm Sunday. A field of 54 going to post. Place your bets by 12:05 p.m. Friday.
Key point, Matt. Key point. You obviously had a recent spin round there, Steve. How's she playing?
Yeah, she's playing difficult. She's playing really difficult. I mean, poor Miguel, my caddy, had never had a tougher shift. He's never had a tougher shift in his life. My course management skills were quite questionable. Yeah, I learned a lot. You know, I tried to attack and I hit what I thought were fantastic golf shots and they'd just be a lost ball. You know, if you hit a drive, you hit a drive straight and long and you think you've cracked it. And I was swaggering around after driving. I've lost my ball because, it's such a test of precision. I've learned a lot about Valderrama. It's nice to have played a track recently. They were putting up all the stands as I was playing there, all the LIV Golf stands.
For you,
added a bit of pressure having loads of builders watching your every shot, as well as the sort of aura of the place. It's got a real aura, but I'm really excited about this golf tournament. Yeah, I know Liv's got a lot of naysayers, but I'm looking forward to this more than anything.
Well, I'd love to have been a fly on the wall when poor old Miguel got home after work. How was work?
I hope he made it home. No, he was huffing and puffing. It was a tough day for him.
Right, let's get into it then. You know what the show's going to be. The Shambo Rahm, Hatton, Neiman. The Wind Machine, Neiman. I'll add as well, the Wind Machine, Neiman. Yeah. How many in the team, Steve?
Three.
Okay. Right, okay. Is it one of the big guns as the main pick?
No. We can discuss them later. I know you get bored of these live golf shows, but it's not one of them.
Okay, that's all good. Lazy bookmaking is to the punter's advantage, so we don't mind that. Who's the main pick?
Sergio García, the king of Valderrama. Of he's won me a fortune at this course through the years. Four-time champion here, three DP World Tour titles, then LIV Andalusia 12 months ago. He's won a total of seven DP World Tour events in Spain. He loves performing in his homeland. He first teed up at Valderrama when he was 13 years of age. He's become a regular contender at the course on the European Tour. He describes Valderrama as his favourite course in the world, makes no bones about it. Trademark precision rewarded there. In 17 starts as a professional at this iconic venue, he's posted 16 top 10 finishes. Yeah, we were talking about Patrick Cantlay the other day, weren't we, for the Travellers. What a fantastic top 20 bet he was, because it just always happens. You know, Sergio García always finishes in the top 10 Valderrama. He's finished second in this Valderrama on the DP World Tour three times. So he could have won it seven times. He's just with a little bit of luck. He's just a standing dish at Valderrama, Dave. And I'm happy to tuck into that dish again. Breeze in the forecast just helps. You know, it's going to be tough. Course management, you know, what I struggled with there is what García is brilliant at. You know, García's course management at Valderrama is just one for the purists. Yeah, I've been to the Volvo Masters as a spectator before, and it's like, it's like mesmerizing watching García go about his business at Valderrama. It's like a chess player going to work, Dave. There's certain things in sport that really, really excite me. I used to enjoy the rhythm of Phil Taylor's throw on the dartboard. And, you know, watching Sergio García maneuver his ball around Valderrama, you know, playing his game of chess at Valderrama, it's that sort of course. It's actually a joy to watch, Dave. Sorry, I've gone off piste. I've just gone. I've gone all misty eyed, but yeah, there is something about watching García at Valderrama. And, yeah, I have to tuck into the standing dish again because I would just disregard what happened last week. Yeah, the reason we're getting such a nice price this week about the king of Valderrama is because García played in the BMW International last week and missed the cut. You know, these two tournaments are like chalk and cheese in terms of how Garcia is feeling when he arrives at the venue. We talked about how awkward it was for Garcia last week, going back to the scene of where he had a big spat with various players. Yeah, there were so many people in attendance in Germany last week that hated him, that hated Garcia. And I don't care how thick-skinned you are, you walk into a place where everyone hates you, you're uncomfortable, you're not going to perform at your best in whatever you do. This week, as I say, chalk and cheese, this week he's welcomed as an absolute hero. You know, he's the king of Valderrama. Everyone in attendance absolutely worships Sergio Garcia. So disregard what happened last week in Germany and worship at the feet of the king of Valderrama.
So obvious, wasn't it? You know, as soon as his name left your mouth, I just thought, of course, it can't be anyone else, can it? His record is frightening, though, isn't it? At the track, it is frightening.
It is. And we were on him last year for Live Andalucía. We were on him for the 2018 Andalucía Masters. He's always served us well. And he's going to his happy place. You know, the greatest film ever made is Happy Gilmore. You know, we talk about going to your happy place. You know, Garcia's performance raises when he gets to his happy place. And I would suggest that Nordeichenride last week was his unhappy place. So he's going from his unhappy place to his happy place.
Okay, right. Okay, so he's the we're going with the king of Valderrama as the main pick. Who else in the team?
Next best is Taylor Gooch, who won the 2023 Live Andalucía with a stunning 12 under par, 54 hole total. He won three Live titles that year. You might remember, you know, banked the GDP of Chad in 2023. It was an astonishing haul of money that he banked in 2023. And he did a lot of laurels resting after that, Dave. We often talk about laurels resting on sweet stuff, don't we? You know, Rafa Cabrera Bayo did a bit of laurels resting. Taylor Gooch, perfectly understandable human emotion, did a bit of laurels resting. I would have done a bit of laurels resting. Yeah, he millions and pounds in the bank, young family. He's got a couple of young kids. He went off to enjoy it for a bit, which was a perfectly acceptable tactic. In the last few months, there have been signs he's knuckling down again. He was 12th in Live Miami on a tough golf course. Got a tough golf course this week. 13th in Live Mexico. 3rd in Live Korea. 10th in Live Virginia. Strong weekend in Live Dallas. So Taylor Gooch is playing Taylor Gooch golf again. Fairways and greens. He's 3rd on the Live circuit for driving accuracy this season. So I think he'll go close to a second Valderrama title.
Okay, that's two of the three. Who else in the team?
Martin Kaymer. Yes, Martin. I can see the concern in your face.
No.
Martin Kaymer, massive price. Opened at 200-1. Disrespectful. Former world number one. I nearly said former world number one amateur. Former world number one. Two-time major champion. Still only 40 years of age. Proven Valderrama performer. How you get 200-1, I can't get my head around it. Finished 6th on his Valderrama debut in the 2007 Volvo Masters, 2nd in the 2008 Volvo Masters, 6th in the 2016 Spanish Open at Valderrama, 2nd in the 2020 Andalucía Masters, 14th in last year's Live Andalucía. Happy to grind out a score at Valderrama, and we've had some recent encouragement. Kaymer, 10th in Live Hong Kong in March. Similar test of precision. Then last month, 8th in Live Virginia, 18th in Live Dallas. Last week, closed with a 67 for 19th place in the BMW International. You know, really solid effort in his homeland last week. 70, 70, 70, 67. Only 7 players outscored him in the final round of the BMW. Well capable of getting in the mix over. Yeah, it's priced up as a no-hoper, Dave.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disrespectful.
I'm looking at him alongside the likes of, you know, Lee Westwood in the prices. You know, I'd much rather back Martin Kaymer than Lee Westwood.
Yeah, he was priced up as if the bookies didn't even notice what he did last week in Germany. I mean, that was, you know, 2 under par, 2 under par, 2 under par, and then 5 under par on Sunday. It was he really encouraging signs. There's another fella that might have done a bit of laurels resting, became a father not that, you know, a few years ago, became a father, laurels resting. But Yeah, I've not given up on Martin Kaymer.
Well, just the each way side of that bet alone is appealing, isn't it? So
yeah.
Yes, Martin, indeed. Oh dear. Yeah. If he wins, we'll have to dig out that clip and try and post it somehow.
Yeah. We should explain to our American viewers. But yeah, the usual mob at the top of the bet. And I know.
Yes. Let's get into the market leaders.
I mean, John Rahm's Bowerama record is pretty poor. I'd say
what is it off the top of your head, John Rahm's record?
He's finished, it's all duck or no dinner. I mean, he has finished second in here, but he's also missed a couple of cuts. I think Tyrrell Hatton is the best option of the top four there.
Right.
But he hasn't got a lot of Valderrama experience, hasn't been putting as confidently as he normally does. So no, I'm very happy with my three, and that leaves us with 10 across four tournaments. I know you like to know the percentage. That is almost exactly 2% of the field. We've got 2% of the field. If one of the other, if the 98% win, then my name will be mud.
Not at all. Right, a reminder then that our friends at SBK, every week they pick a tournament to boost your winnings if you do play. And it's the Scottish Open this week, 30% winnings boost. 30% winnings boost from SBK. So make sure you jump onto the website, betsbk.com, and take advantage of that. So they'll give you free bets. They'll boost your winnings on the Scottish Open. So you can open your shoulders and build that bank balance and betting balance ahead of next week's Open, of course. Steve, let's get a roundup then of the selections this week. Four tournaments. Before we do that, you gave it for one of the events. Can we just quickly get a bet buy here? Because we've got four tournaments all going off at different times.
Yeah, sure.
So talk us through how and when each of these tournaments starts this week.
Yeah, 6 a.m. I believe for the Evian. 7:15 a.m. I think for the Scottish. ISCO will be lunchtime-ish. So those three on Thursday. And then Live Under Lethea, 12:05 p.m. on Friday. If you want your Accas, which I'm sure you're hungry for, then by 6 a.m. on Thursday, please.
Okay, good stuff. Right, the Evian Championship then. Let's have a roundup of the selections. Just the one here.
Nelly Korda.
Okay, the Scottish Open.
Robert McIntyre, Harris English, Harry Hall and Brian Harman.
The ISCO Championship.
Jackson Koivun, Takumi Kanaya.
And the Live Golf Andalusia.
Sergio García, Taylor Gooch and Martin Kaymer.
Okay, right, Steve, obviously a massive week next week. How much of your time this week is committed to preparing for next week?
Not enough, Dave. Not enough. You know, Joe Champion's a slave driver. To be fair, I've messed up. I scheduled a trip to Lourdes on Saturday, so I'm going to watch the cricket on Saturday. Once I've got that out of the way, it's head down for Royal Portrush. My main job this week is get some sleep in, Dave. My dog has been behaving very badly lately. In the summer, the dog becomes a real issue, Dave, because you leave the windows open, don't you, in your bedroom. She sleeps in our bedroom, and you leave the windows open, and then as soon as another dog or any animal goes past outside, she'll start barking. She's shouting her head off, protecting our manor, I suppose, is how she views it. But she is like an alarm clock at like 5:30 in the morning. There's always somebody walking a dog early, and So I don't know what I'm going to do, Dave. I don't know if you've got any advice. I know dogs
shut the curtains,
specialist subject. Well, if I shut the windows, then I just suffocate.
What about shut the curtains?
No, she can't see the dog. She can smell the dog. Smell the dog. Yeah, she can just sense it. Like, she's got an amazing nose. I've got an early morning cockerel in my bed now.
Unruly growler.
I have got an unruly growler, Dave. So I've got to work on that. But don't worry, we'll be ready for the Open Championship, and we'll find the winner of it, as we did last year. We had a great week last year. We need to focus PMA, recreate the glories of 2024.
all the faith in the world in you, mate. So I'm sure we'll find a winner or two this week. Very busy, four tournaments to get stuck into. Thank you for your time and expertise as ever, Steve. And for you guys out there watching, do remember to get involved. Drop us a comment below. Perhaps, you know, give us your view on next week as well as this week. Any advice for Steve and his unruly growler? Gamble responsibly, enjoy the golf, and we'll see you next time.